Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to, 1 Peter, I believe it is. I better get out my notes. 1 Peter, yes. Chapter 1. We're going to look at God's grading system today. Those of you who are in school, you know that there's a grading system. When you turn in your school projects, you're going to get a grade eventually. When mommy and daddy finally get around to grading that schoolwork, if you're like me. But you're going to get a grade one day on that school that you turned in. Well, God has a grading system for His children. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now hook with this verse, 2 Timothy 2:20. 2 Timothy 2:20. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. So there is a grading system we see in God's economy. In heaven, when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a grade. There are some Christians, I'm afraid, that are going to bring some dishonor with them into heaven. There are some Christians that are going to bring praise to Jesus. Then there are other Christians that are going to bring great honor to our Lord. And then there are other Christians who are going to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for this Bible study this morning. Lord, I pray that you speak to each and every one of our hearts, that we would be willing to go forward for Christ and give our all to Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be not 1%ers or 30%ers or 60%ers, but Lord, that we would be 100%ers, 100% Christians, 100% followers of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you bless this time. Give me the words to say, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn over to Luke, please. We're going to jump over to Luke now. Luke chapter 19. We see the same idea here in Luke 19 in the parable of the talents. In this particular gospel, the parable of the talents is the parable of the pounds. The parable of the pounds. Luke chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 12. Luke 19:12, and he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. God has a grading system for his children. Notice the progression that we saw in 1 Peter. A Christian can dishonor Christ, or his life can bring praise to Christ. Further, his life could honor the Savior, but greatest of all, a Christian can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Maybe, and I don't know if I'm stretching it, but maybe a preacher could say that there are the 1% Christians. Those that Job, remember Job? Those that Job would say got to heaven by the skin of their teeth. Remember Job 19:20? He said, "My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth." Just barely made it. Just barely made it. These are the Christians that perhaps got saved on their deathbeds, or got saved and then never did anything for God afterwards. They lived for themselves all their life. They got saved, praise the Lord for that. And God will get some praise for the fact that he saved them, by the way. Don't misunderstand me there. But what praise did that Christian bring to God? Maybe nothing more than that. They are in heaven. They got saved. Praise the Lord. But that's all that God can say for them. Maybe we can call those the 1% Christians. Then we could, maybe we might be able to say there are the praise Christians. So those would be the dishonor Christians, by the way. They dishonored their Lord by not bringing any fruit along with them. And then we might say there are the praise Christians, or maybe the 30% Christians, as a general group. Again, a general group. They did some things for the Lord. They went to church. They told a couple of handfuls of people throughout the course of their life about Jesus Christ, how to be saved. They gave some money here and there to the Lord's work. But mostly, they were in church on Sunday morning and then did their own thing and their own work the rest of the time. Maybe we could call these the 30%ers. Their life did bring some praise to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But what about the next group, the honor Christians? Maybe we could say these are the 60%ers. And by the way, if you're a Sealy, you've heard this story before. The idea for this message came from my dad. It's not original with me. I remember him preaching this message when I was a young person. And 30%ers, 60%ers, and 100%ers. But other than that, this is my message. I don't remember. I didn't keep his notes. This is my message as far as it's his idea, my notes. So I'll give my dad the credit there. The honor Christians, the 60% Christians. These Christians took their responsibility to the Lord quite a bit more seriously. Generally speaking, they pass out tracts frequently and witness when the opportunity comes along, even going out with the church witnessing once a month or so. They attend most of the services of the church, of course, passing up on some Wednesday nights or the occasional special meeting because they were tired or just didn't feel like it that evening. And these are the tithers of the church. The tithers, with the occasional extra giving to the missionary that comes through, God would even put a whole lot of preachers, pastors, and missionaries in this category, the 60%ers. Their lives went beyond praise. They brought honor, sometimes great honor, to the name of Jesus Christ. But the last group is the glory Christians. We'll say they're the 100% Christians. This would be the Apostle Paul's group. The Apostle Paul's group. These are those who could honestly say, like Paul, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day, and I am pure from the blood of all men." Not very many Christians can say that, can we? These are those who did not wait for an opportunity to share the gospel. They created opportunities. They told everyone they could about the Lord Jesus. They tithed, certainly. But beyond that, they gave sacrificially to the Lord and to his work. They were wholehearted in every area of Christian service to the Lord. They were witnesses. They were soul winners. But they were also disciples and encouragers. They were on fire for God and were burnt out for the name of Jesus Christ. These may have been some of the great missionaries. David Brainerd died when he was 29 of tuberculosis, serving the American missionaries, trying to win them to Jesus Christ. William Carey, Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, Adoniram Judson, Amy Carmichael, Lottie Moon. I don't know if Jesus has them, has these particular ones in that group, but for sake of an illustration, let's put these folks there today. 100% Christians. These would be every martyr that has died for the name of Jesus Christ. These were those that brought glory to Jesus. They were sold out, 100% on fire for Christ. Somebody here might say, "Preacher, you can't say God has a grading system like that just from 1 Peter 1:7 or just even from Luke chapter 19. Well, you're right, and I'm not. Let's look at some more scripture. Let's go to John 15, please. John 15. Gospel of John chapter 15, God's grading system. Look at verses 2 through 5. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." There's a progression there too. There's no fruit, there's fruit, there's more fruit, and there's much fruit. What does the Bible say about rewards? Rewards. Go to 1 John 2. We were in 1 John before, but go back to 1 John chapter 2. God's grading system. The dishonor Christians, the praise Christians, the honor Christians, and the glory Christians. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. 1 John 2, verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring his rewards with him. He's referring to that in this verse. He's referring to the fact, he's intimating and implying that there could be some Christians that will be ashamed before Christ at his coming. There's an ashamed, I believe, going to be an ashamed group. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:14. We're talking about rewards. 1 Corinthians 3:14. What does God say about rewards? Well, there's going to be some people that are going to be ashamed in reference to their rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Some folks are going to be ashamed at Christ's coming. Some Christians are going to receive a reward. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Maybe you know those verses by heart. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." There's those that are going to be ashamed. There's those that are going to receive a reward. And those that are going to receive a great reward. Go back to 2 John, please. 2 John. And then there are those who will receive another type of reward. 2 John chapter 1, of course. Look at verse 8. "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." A full reward. The 100% Christians. The glory Christians. And lastly, as far as proving God has a grading system, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 12 through 15. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What's going to be burned up in the fire? As far as gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, what's going to be burned up? The wood and the hay and the stubble. The precious stones and silver and gold are going to remain. If any man's work abide, gold, silver, precious stones, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, can you imagine getting to heaven and bringing your works with you and being put through the fire of God's judgment? And everything you have, everything you've brought with you, is up in smoke. And you're standing there with nothing now. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He'll be ashamed. Ashamed. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God has a grading system. And I don't know if the praise and honor and glory has something to do with it, but I'd like to use that verse and call them the praise Christians, the honor Christians, and the glory Christians. And of course, the dishonor ones. If Jesus came back today, this very afternoon, what group would he put you in? Now, of course, we'd like to put ourselves in a pretty good group. I'd like to be able to put myself in the glory group, but I can't. I know that. In fact, I'd probably be down in the 40%ers, probably. You know, maybe he should put me in the 30%ers, but you know, maybe I almost made it to the honor Christians. Which group would Jesus put you in today? Ever thought about that? Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Christian, do you have no fruit this morning? Is that the group you are in? Are you saved, but that's it? A one percenter? Then you might just be ashamed before his throne. I would expect, if that's where you where you are and the life that you have before God, I would expect there will be some dishonor there to Jesus, that you did not serve him better. Maybe there might be some dishonor from the Lord toward you. Boy, I don't want to receive dishonor from Christ. By the way, I do believe we will all be ashamed to one degree or another. Every single one of us will be ashamed to one degree before the judgment seat of Christ. Ashamed that we did not do more. No matter how much you did, how sold out for Christ you were, you're going to be ashamed you didn't do more. I could have won more to Christ. I could have won greater rewards. I could have been better pleasing to Jesus, and I didn't. Why not? God help us. You see, we're all going to be ashamed to one degree or another. But are you going to be standing there completely ashamed with nothing to bring honor to the name of Christ? If you cannot see any fruit in your life, then you will be more ashamed than you had to have been. You will be more ashamed than you had to be. Ashamed that your life only had that wood, hay, and stubble that's been burned up. And you're standing there before Christ with nothing of eternal value. Do you have no fruit this morning? I urge you to start earning some fruit. Start growing some fruit in your life. Do you have some fruit? A few. A couple apples. A couple cherries. A few oranges. Maybe you are in the 30%ers. Some fruit. You can expect some kind of reward from Jesus at his coming. You have a few precious stones to give to Jesus. Maybe you are a praise Christian. Are you comfortable with that? Is that good enough? Before Christ's throne, consider yourself standing before Christ's throne. Is that good enough for you? Maybe you have a pile of fruit this morning. You have more fruit. And maybe you are in the where Jesus would put you. Maybe Jesus would put you in the 60 percenters, bringing not only precious stones but silver with you as well. An honor, Christian. You can expect a great reward from your Savior. Is that good enough? Why not try for a full reward? Why not try for a full reward? Why settle for second best or third best? Would Jesus be able to place you today in the gold medalists, the 100 percenters, the glory Christians? You will not just be given a great reward, but you'll be given a full reward. Which group would Jesus put you in today? Next question. Which group do you want to be in when Jesus comes back? Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Which group would you like to be in? Do you want to be in the ashamed group? The 30%, the praise 30%ers? The honor 60%ers? Or the 100% Christians? 2 Corinthians 5 verses 9 through 11. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Notice the opening statement to appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. Wherefore we labor. Do you want to be in a better category than you would be found right now? It's going to take work. You're not going to get there other than by good old-fashioned hard labor. You're going to have to labor more than you have been for Jesus Christ. You're going to have to work harder than you have been for the Lord. Unless you are in the 100% category like Paul is, I believe, you will experience some shame that you weren't more faithful than you were. And we could all be more faithful. We could all be more ready with a testimony. But if you want to be put, if you want Jesus to be able to put you in a higher category, you and I are going to have to work harder than we have been. We're going to have to go out of our comfort zone a little bit and start doing some things that we haven't been doing so far, or maybe haven't been doing very often. Witness, disciple others, share Christ, create opportunities, not just wait for God to bring an opportunity your way. But which group do you want to be in when Jesus gets back? Boy, I want to be in the 100%ers. I'd like to be there. But do I honestly think I will be placed there? No, I don't. But why not go for broke? Why not go for broke? Why settle for mediocrity? We're talking about eternal rewards, eternal glory from Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about in Daniel, at the end of Daniel, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Maybe there's going to be a different radiance of Christian shining forever. Maybe you're going to have 100 lumens to your glow. And maybe Paul is going to have 1,000 lumens to his glow. I don't know. But we're going to shine. But maybe other Christians are going to shine brighter forever. Forever and ever. The honor of God will be put upon them forever because of how much they served Jesus Christ. How faithful they were. We're talking about eternal value. What are you doing? What is in this earth that you are going to take with you? Are you going to take your home, your car, your job, your bank account with you? No. Only what brings praise and honor and glory to Jesus is going to survive the judgment seat of Christ. Go for broke. Bring some more. Don't settle for mediocrity, boy. Bring some more praise to Jesus. Bring some more glory to Christ. Go for broke. Where would he put you in right now? If he came back this afternoon, Jesus is coming back really soon. One of these days, somebody's going to say that, and it's going to happen. It'll be that afternoon. Are you comfortable? Are you going to be happy and unashamed where Jesus puts you in his grading system? If he came back this afternoon, would you like to be put in a higher category? I would. I sure would. Then we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to do some more labor. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done. There's work again. Done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade, there's some work. We persuade men. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ isn't very comfortable in this day and age, is it? We look weird. We look out of place. We look like the aliens of the world. But that brings honor to God. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. Are you looking peculiar enough? On God's scale of peculiarity, how peculiar are you compared to your neighbor? What group do you want to be in, and what group would he put you in today? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your graciousness to us. But Father, help us to be more faithful to you. Help us to serve you better, serve you more fully. Lord Jesus, it is so worth it. Pray that you bless the invitation in just a minute. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing, I forgot to this part. It is worth it, young people. Let me give you a few testimonies of men who were completely sold out for Jesus. David Brainerd, I talked about him, died when he was 29, ripe old age of 29, died of tuberculosis. David Brainerd said, "Nothing seemed too hard for God to perform, nothing too great for me to hope for from him." He said, "I have received my all from God. Oh, that I could return my all to God. Oh, that I could return my all to God." He said, "Oh, that I could spend every moment of my life to God's glory. Oh, how sweet it is to be spent and worn out for God," he said. He also said this, "I love to live on the brink of eternity." I love to live on the brink of eternity. Are you living with your eye on heaven today? Brainerd's testimony greatly influenced William Carey, Adoniram Judson, and Jim Elliot. And we can see that in some of the things they said. William Carey said this, "Expect great things from God. Receive great things from God. Expect little from God. Receive little from God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." Adoniram Judson said, Let me beg you not to rest contented with the commonplace religion that is now so prevalent." He's begging you. He's begging us. Judson said, "There is no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it is because someone has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it is because someone will succeed after. He was burnt out for Christ. Judson said, I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He also said this. I've never heard this one, but I really like it. He said, Jim Elliot, if we are the sheep of his pasture, remember that sheep are headed for the altar. Remember that your life should be headed to the altar. If we are the sheep of his pasture, remember that sheep are headed for the altar. He said, God, I pray thee, Jim Elliot, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. And of course, Jim Elliot, we know, was burnt out for Christ in the jungles of Ecuador. He gave his life for Christ. It is worth it. These are the testimonies of men who died for the name of Christ. Died in hardship. Died as a martyr. Elliot. They say it's worth it. It's worth it. David Brainerd said, oh, how sweet it is to be spent and worn out for God. Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Will you turn it over to Him and allow Him to spend it the way He sees fit? Let's stand, please.